How are we?
Just had something on my heart that I, you know, I really wanted to, you know, try and open up and just share this morning. So I just really want to encourage you, you know, if you can, just come along this journey with me this morning. You know, I'm not saying thus says the Lord or anything like that, but I just really believe, you know, in what I have to say today, and I'm pretty sure it's accurate. And I just want to, you know, do my bit to follow on from, you know, Pastor Brian last week, you know, talked about communication. And I just think it's just such an amazing thing. It's such a powerful thing, communication. But I want to follow on from that, and I'll start with this scripture and then we'll go from there. So in Luke 10, verse 38, Pastor Brian spoke briefly about this last week. And it's about Mary and Martha and the difference between worship and service. Now it happened as they went that he, Jesus, entered a certain village and a certain woman named Martha welcomed him into the house. And she had a sister called Mary who also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was distracted with much serving. And she approached him and said, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Therefore, tell her to help me." And Jesus answered and said to her, "Martha, Martha." I love that because he says it twice. So I can almost picture how he said it. "Martha, Martha. You worry about too much. You are concerned about too much. You're worried and troubled about many things, but one thing is needed. And Mary has chosen that good part, which will not be taken away from her." And I just think this is a powerful piece of scripture. And my message this morning, if it's got a name, is "But one thing is needed." And I reckon I'm going to give you the answer to all your problems this morning. Whew. Almost all. Not you, Michael, not all yours. But everyone else's. Because I, without belittling anything that anyone is going through, I just reckon it can be so simple. And we'll come back to that in a minute. But I reckon God is in this season. You know, I so believe that God is in this season. He's for you. He's a part of what's going on. You know, you might feel all sorts of different things, but I want to tell you that God is there. God is in it. You may not feel that way, but I want you to know that God is in it. May not look that way, but God is there. God is in it and God is working. God is working in each heart. God is working in each life. And He's with you. He's for you. He loves you. You know, I think you know, and Pastor Brian's probably talked a bit about this over, well, certainly the last few months and everything, but he's talked about the battle being intense. You know, I reckon the battle has been intense over, you know, not only just as a church, but just individuals' lives. Because the enemy doesn't want you to succeed. We have an adversary called the devil. He walks around, he roams around like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. Now that sounds full on, but he does not want you to succeed. He does not want you to be connected. He does not want you to communicate. He does not want you to find a body that represents Christ on the earth, that can bring you to a place of healing and restoration and life and freedom where you can find your Creator Jesus. He does not want that. And that is why we have intensity in battle. So we can be hurt, wired. Some of us are wired, burnt out, can have health issues that stop us. And I believe, you know, what's happening is it's happened because the enemy wants to scatter. I hope this is making sense this morning. It's because the enemy wants to scatter, wants to separate, isolate, particularly in the spirit. You know, whether, you know, Heidi and I, whether we're at home together or not is kind of irrelevant, but if we're disconnected or isolated in, you know, in the spirit of our relationship, that's where the problem is. We can be at home every day, all day together, and still be disconnected. You know, so the enemy wants to do that, and he'll do it in all sorts of different ways. But it's been to scatter and isolate and pull people out onto their own, and you know, a whole lot of different things. And I don't want to necessarily name all those things. I think you can work it out. You know, you have a think about your life or the life of people in your life and that sort of thing, and just see what I'm trying to, you know, communicate tonight today. So God is building something. God is doing an amazing work. Like yesterday was, you know, again, just a little bit of an eye-opener to me. Sometimes I just think we're no one. You know, we're little old us down here in Sale. And somehow, you know, the guy talking there, giving his speech at the end about how well Aussie Conservatives did, you know, pointed to Sale, pointed to Gippsland, said, look out for these guys. These are the forerunners. He said something like that. This is Kevin Bailey. And I'm like, you know, what's going on here? And there's only, a handful of us down there that went down to help. But there's something in that. They're picking something up. So God is building something. And not just in that area, in all sorts of different areas. But God is doing something and God is building. And if the enemy can just pull you offside, just scatter you a little bit in your thinking, in that spirit connection, you know, that we have, then it can shut things down. So I believe in this season a couple of things. One, God is wanting to minister to you. I just so believe that, you know, God's healing oil, God's fresh oil, God's anointing oil. You know, the presence of God is here and it is available for you to access daily for healing, for restoration, to pull us back, you know, to that place where we're meant to be. It's like there's this season where God is just waiting for us to come to Him. And I'm not saying we're not coming to Him, but I think it's a different time. And it's a different season and we need to come differently and we need to come deeper. I reckon sometimes, you know, when you've got health issues or you've been hurt or, you know, we've got all these different things that are going on, sometimes you can listen to me like today and you can be nodding and in your heart, you're going, I've been going through this for a while. Don't know about that. I do believe it, but not for me. I do believe it, but why is mine taking so long? And that sort of thing. And that's okay. And I don't, again, want to belittle where we are at. But I do want to say this morning that it is time. It is time. And aside from all the things that can be in the natural that you can go, but this or that, you know, or but it's not going to happen till now, or but you don't know what I've gone through, or but it's almost like somehow, I don't know how, that answer I don't have for you. But actually I do. The answer I have at the end is going to sort everything out. I hope. But it's time, you know, and I think we've got to be able to grab that word. It's time, regardless of what we see. Regardless of what we feel, regardless of what we think and go, God, I don't see it. I don't even maybe get it. But God, I want to put into my life that word, it is time. I'm going to see this happen. It is time. It is my day. You know, it is my season. Amen. And does that make sense? I hope I'm hitting it on the head today. I think I am. So God's wanting to minister. God's wanting to do something fresh you know, in our heart and in our life. The other thing is, I reckon God is bringing us to a powerful place of alignment, you know, an agreement, relationship, communication. Because there is so much power in that. You know, communication is an amazing thing. I just reckon there is so much power in communication. Because when you communicate, nothing's hidden. You know, when you communicate, I know what you're thinking. You know what I'm thinking. You know my heart. We know what's going on. We don't second guess. You know, all that sort of thing. With communication, it's just so powerful. So there's safety in it. There's covering in it. There's protection in communication. You know, I know for Heidi and I would have said that we were very close and, you know, all's well and it's peaceful and it is. It's all good, but we're not good communicators. So we didn't, you know, don't talk a lot about lots of things. We get busy doing our own life. And then you find out as you're walking out the door where she's going or where I'm going or, you know, things like that. And it's all good, it's sweet, it's harmonious, but there's not that communication. And something I've found, you know, when pressure comes then, that's where the enemy can get in and begin to break down. So for us, I know we found it over the whole thing with the plebiscite because, you know, Heidi was doing what she was doing. And she was going out and doing things, doing, you know, that whole thing. And we're at different ideas on the whole thing, not on the crux of it, but just in how, you know, what was going on and how it was happening. And she was away a lot and I was for her, but internally I was a bit frustrated and all this sort of thing. But I didn't communicate, so I felt that there was this gap beginning to happen. Now, we're fine and sweet, but I became very aware of what was happening. That is the same in a church. That's the same in any relationship. So communication is so powerful. I think what Pastor Brian spoke about, you know, last week is just so powerful. And I'd encourage you to, you know, grab that again and have a listen to it because there's safety in it. You know, there's covering, protection. You know, our connections are vital. My connection with you, your connection with me, our connection with the house is vital. If you call this place home and looking around the room, I could probably safely say that, you know, almost 100% of people here would call this place their home. You know, if you call this place home, then what we're talking about is vital because God is building something. God is wanting to do something in your life, in our lives that is going to impact and shake a city and shake a nation just through individual lives, corporate lives. So being able to communicate and come together and lose that scatteredness, communication will help that. Yeah. So something Pastor Brian said last week was just so awesome. You know, you, me, and God, you know, equals that God spark. And I just think, you know, that is something that we need to think about. It's something that we need to, you know, this is why I love Man Up. And when Legacy starts, I love Legacy. Because it doesn't force you, but it opens you up. Instead of hardening up or just, you know, she'll be right, mate. You know, the Aussie catch cry, she'll be right, mate. Instead of that, it's about opening up. You know, what's said in the room stays in the room, but I won't say names or anything. But this was just an awesome example. We had a young bloke in our group talked about jealousy this week. And initially when I heard jealousy, I'm like, oh, jealousy, that's weird. Why jealousy? I'm not jealous. But then begin to break it down and open it up and we realized all the different things that are connected with jealousy. Anyway, this young bloke, he said that in the group, you know, he's sort of like, oh, initially it was kind of like, oh, I don't think I'm jealous or, you know, that sort of thing. But then the next step, he kind of opened up about a situation in his life where he, you know, right back when he thought that, you know, that was like a bit of a turning point for just rejection. And then there was like this light bulb moment towards the end where he just began to open up and he goes, I am jealous. I'm beeping jealous. I'm jealousy, you know, like it was like this sort of, it wasn't, I'm exaggerating a little bit, but it was like this light bulb moment. Why was I talking about that? Probably communication. That's right. That's why I love Man Up, because it begins to open things up and we begin to communicate, which is not a normal, natural thing for blokes to do. But it's beginning to open up. And when you do that, you feel a closeness. You feel a strength of relationship and connection that maybe was there before, but it's going deeper and it's going stronger. And it's like that, you know, in the Bible, it talks about the three braided cord, you know, is not easily broken. It's like that thing is just getting tighter and tighter together. And it's you and it's me and it's God. You know, it's you, it's the house and it's God. However you want to look at it, it's you and your partner and God. And there's something that happens. There's a connection and a fire and a spark that begins to happen, you know, when that takes place. So we're in a world of hurt, of distraction. This gets good, don't worry. Hurt, we can be wired, I said this before, burnt out. Health battles, but the story of Mary and Martha can help set our lives in order, yeah. I reckon. It's just so powerful. You know, we are in a world of distraction. We can get so distracted. You know, and this story of Mary and Martha can just begin to open things right up. So I'll read it again, Luke 10. You with me this morning?
Yeah.
Is this making sense?
Yep.
So now it happened as they went that he entered a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha welcomed him into their house. And she had a sister called Mary who also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was distracted with much serving, and she approached him and said, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Therefore, tell her to help me." And Jesus answered and said to her, "Martha, Martha, you're worried and troubled about many things." I love that line, sorry. "But one thing is needed, and Mary has chosen that good part which will not be taken away from her." You know, I want you to just think a little bit this morning and maybe put yourself in, you know, the shoes of that story. You know, even now, just begin to think over, you know, what that scripture says and, you know, and what I've said and maybe what it means to you. You know, maybe where you fit into that picture. Are you Jesus? There you go. That's the crew I know. Smiling faces. You Mary? You Martha? Just on that quickly, you know, who's got some thoughts on that scripture? Really briefly, quickly, just throw them out to me.
I think it's good we're talking about it. Scripture that's always frustrating me. Because I'm like, well, if someone doesn't make the dinner, there'll be no dinner.
Yeah,
so for me, this like is like such an important scripture that I always come back to. I'm like, whatever. I'm with Martha.
That's good. I have the answer for you this morning. I seriously do. I have the answer to all your problems this morning.
I'm a Martha. But I always think it's so incredible how Martha is doing the works, but it causes her to look at her sister competitively. So she's like when you get tired and you're working and things like that, you can point the finger at other people who are breaking through and get frustrated with them because, you know, you're comparing their works to yours, and in when you're measuring the tasks, they might not be doing as many tasks as you, but they're where they should be and they're breaking through and they're receiving the word, but you're reacting with competition, and that's what I think can drive people apart, where you're meant to be, they were meant to be sisters that were close. You know?
Yeah. You need a roving mic.
I think I can be both Martha and Mary at times. Last Sunday before worship, I was really distracted by a lot of things. I was worrying about different family members. I was worrying about different situations, and I just couldn't focus on work, on worshipping. Pastor Brian came over to me and he just said, do not be anxious for anything. I hadn't spoken to him. So God obviously put that in his heart, do not be anxious for anything. So I think that when we live in that place of being Martha, we carry all this stuff we're never meant to carry, and we get weighed down and burnt out and heavy. But when we bring it all to Jesus and find that place, there's rest in it. So that was really good.
Cool. You're going to make me walk all the way to you.
I was like, oh, I could just talk without the mic.
I don't need...
Oh,
yeah.
All right, go.
I feel like I can identify with Martha a lot. Just like Kat said, if you know what the words did come from, unless Jesus produces it. But also the attitude of Jesus, do something about it while I'm here at work. Jesus, listen. It's an attitude.
Yeah.
It's not right. Both of the work, you've got it done, and we can both listen. And so it's an attitude that you can change, because it's not about the work. It's not about what has to be done. It's about what goes on inside us.
Yeah.
Were you looking at me before? No, that's all right. I thought you looked at me to take me off. So this is good. I think we're hitting something. You got my phone? No. So I've just got a couple of points here. And my last one will solve all your problems. But first of all, you know, in verse 38 it says, now it happened as they went that he entered a certain village and a certain woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. So firstly, we've got to welcome him in. You know, even though Martha was busy doing everything that she was doing, she had welcomed him in. But at that point, that's kind of where it stopped. And you're right. Meals have got to be cooked. There's got to be order. You know, there needs to be organization, there needs to be busyness, there needs to be serving. Christ came as a servant, you know, so we need to serve. But Martha, she welcomed him in. And I think we've all done that. Number two, Mary, she recognized Christ. She recognized the grace. She... you know, in verse 39, and she had a sister called Mary who also sat at the feet and heard his word. So she recognized the grace. She recognized who she was in the presence of. She recognized what was coming from this man, the word that was coming, the communication, the love, the all that stuff that Jesus was putting out or exuding, she noticed that, she picked it up and she recognized it. So she acknowledged who he was and what he carried. She saw the grace and wanted to be found at that place above all. So the problem is we get distracted with much serving, with much doing, with much activity, and it's not bad, but it can be a problem because it can be distracting. So yes, Kathleen, there are things to do. Yes. Yvonne, there needs to be order and planning and organization, but we can't let it distract us. Now, we can't let that scatter us. We can't be found There's got to be things to be done, but we can't be found always doing when God's moving here. If God's moving here. Does that make sense? But we can't let it distract us or scatter us or separate us, because when that happens, that's where the enemy has a foothold. That's where we're scattered then, in a spiritual sense. And to be really honest, I think different ones, maybe all of us to some degree, I don't know, but different ones, we are scattered. You know, it's almost like we're a bit lost. I don't know, I'm using some terrible words this morning, but we are coming to a point. And I hopefully want to just bring you, you know, just that little bit closer on that journey. We need to serve. We need to be diligent and organized. But there is a life, there is a life key to live by. There's a life key to live towards. Because of Mary's response, she chose something that can't be taken away from her. That's powerful. Service can be taken away. Position can be taken away. Busyness can be taken away. You can have a job one day and not the next. You can have something one day and not the next. You can be working towards something one day and it won't be the next. And when you die and go to heaven, you'll have nothing but Christ. Okay, so busyness and all that stuff, that can be taken away. But Mary found something that couldn't be taken away. That's powerful. You know, that's amazing that she'd found something that couldn't be taken away. It says that in verse 42, but one thing is needed. And Mary has chosen that good part, which will not be taken away from her. So Mary found something that couldn't be taken away. So nothing matters but what is needed. You know what Jesus said there? One thing is needed. Nothing matters but one thing is needed. One thing above all. You know, Jesus gave this amazing key in this piece of scripture. You know, of what that one thing is. You know, what that one thing is that we need. You know, that can't be taken away. Number three. Actually, I haven't named this one. I obviously missed that. But one thing is needed. Call it that. And what is this one thing? So in verse 39, it said, and she had a sister called Mary who sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. So serving is not wrong. Being busy is not wrong. But everything must come from that one thing that is needed. And it's being found at the feet of Jesus, and it's hearing his word. It's being found in his presence, you know, daily. It's simple, but I tell you, it is the key to your life. It is the key to my life. Being found at the feet of Jesus, recognizing who he is and what he has and what he holds and the word that comes from that. Being found in that place can turn everything around. So service is not wrong. Amen? We've got to serve, got to be busy. Being busy is not wrong. Life must come from being found at his feet and hearing his word. Service must come from that place. Service must come from being found at his feet and hearing his word. If service is not from that place, you will burn out. You will get hurt. You will think you're hard done by. You will disconnect, and all sorts of different things, you know, begin to happen. If it doesn't come from that place of being found at the feet of Jesus and hearing his word, family must come from being found at his feet and hearing his word. Whatever it is you are battling today, whatever it is, it must come from you being found at the feet of Jesus and hearing his word. You know, one of the things that gets me about this story is, you know, this is actually Lazarus's sisters. So it's Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. So, you know, in John, I think it talks about how the relationship that Jesus had with that family. And, you know, if you look at it, their personalities and perspectives all differed. We haven't talked about Lazarus, but certainly Mary and Martha. You know, their perspective differed. You know, Martha let him in, but Mary did more than that. She was found at his feet. You know, she recognized that. So their perspective and their personalities and all that were very different, yet Jesus was so close with that family. That place was almost like a home away from home. You know, when he found out that Lazarus had died, he cried. So there was a special part in him for that family. He was close with them. He loved them, but they were all very different. And that's kind of, you know, like us, we're all very different. But he's also close enough to talk to them and challenge Martha. Martha, Martha, you worry too much. Now, I don't know about you. Some of you look, a couple of you look a little bit unhappy with my answer for life. But maybe it's a little bit more complicated than that. But I seriously been reading this all week just thinking, just this one small thing. Now, you can, you know, open this up and relate it to whatever area you're in, but we have got to be found in his presence. We have got to be found at the feet of Jesus, and we need to be hearing his word. Now, whether that's through the word, the Bible, whether it's God talking to you, and he should be, whether it's through what's coming through in the pulpit and the house and the word that Pastor Brian's bringing forth, that's fine. But we've got to be found at the feet of the cross, the feet of Jesus. And we've got to hear his word. So everything comes from that. Everything comes from that. Don't stop getting busy. Some of us might need to. Some of us might need to get more busy. Don't stop serving. But do it from the right place. You know, seriously, I otherwise this is what will happen. It says it here. But Martha was distracted with much serving, and she approached him and said, "Lord, do you not care? My sister has left me to serve alone. Do something about it." Pastor Brian, every week, I turn up to Cobb & Co. Turn up to youth. I turn up to this place and that place. And every week, so-and-so is not there. Do something. True, you know what happens. But what it does in you, who cares about that? What it does in you, because I know, because I feel this. You start thinking stupid things. It's just little stuff. Flame and Michael. Never comes. I don't know. I just happened to look at you. That is, you know, whatever. Like, I can't think of a specific example, and I dare not go there just in case I touch someone's specific example. But you know what I'm talking about. Because, and I'm being very serious here, because the thoughts start. And we start, you know, flaming heck, I can't rely on that person. I can't, whatever it is. Now, yes, is it real? Definitely. It's very real, but there's a better way of dealing with it. You know, why not go to that person and say, "Hey, I'm struggling." Talk about it. Communicate. "Hey, when you said this the other day, I felt dot, dot, dot." Now, don't go all loopy and, you know, mega emotional and, you know, just blabber everything. Be smart, but communicate. You know, talk it through. "Lord, don't you care? My sister has left me to serve alone. I'm cooking spaghetti in the kitchen. I'm making coffees every week while Julian kicks back on the stairs and waits for his latte every Sunday." You know, yeah, you're laughing now. See? So it's funny. I don't want to make a massive deal of it, but I kind of just want to open it up a little bit. You know, and yep. When you have two or more people, you will have problems. You know, you will have, so we've got 40, 50, however many people are in this room, we will have problems. Definitely. definitely, but the power that your friends and your family and our city and our nation will see will be when we can walk together absolutely in honor together. You know, like, does that make sense? And in a, just a powerful way where nothing that is said can come between us, where nothing that is said can, you know, be, you know, misinterpreted in the community or whatever. You know, when we can walk in that place, that is when people look and go, oh, wow, that's different, because I don't see that anywhere else. So there'd be few places talking like this today, but I know we want to talk like this because I want to bring you together, you know, like that three braided cord where there's you, there's, you know, there's me, there's God, there's you, there's Pastor Brian, there's God, however you want to look at it, but then we have that God spark. You know, will we have tension? Yes, always. We will always have tension. But I reckon we can get to a place where I just know, even with Heidi and my relationship, the depth at which it's gone just in the last, you know, month or two, significant over the last 12 years. And we've been pretty close. We've been fine. Rarely fight. If an argument ever comes up, I just laugh. And we go on with life. So she hates it. But I hope I want to draw you into, you know, moving ahead in this way. I hope I've communicated that well today, but I honestly reckon that pretty close to the answer for everything that we are going through at a really basic level is just being found in His presence, being found at His feet and hearing the Word, you know, building the Word in you, because the Word is truth. The Word is life. You know, if you don't have the Word, you don't have the truth. So you listen to the little bits in your head that, you know, carry on with the drivel that we listen to in our head, you know. So it's truth. When that thought comes, we can go, no. And you throw out a scripture, you know. I can't think of any off the top of my head now. You know, Christ will rise up a standard against him. You know, whatever it is, greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. And, you know, it's Christ in me, the hope of glory. You know, I don't think this way. You know, Ephesians 4 talks about, I'll read this and we'll finish. It's a good way to communicate. Therefore, putting away lying, let each one of you speak truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Be angry and sin not. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath, nor give place to the devil. Let him who stole steal no longer, but rather let him labor, working with his hands what is good, that he may have something to give him who has need. Let not corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification. Communicate that way. I said something really dumb last week to someone, and I've made my peace. But it was stupid. Maybe it was needed, I don't know. But it was out of an inaccurate, you know. Yeah, good. Thanks, Corey. Where was I? Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another. Even God in Christ forgave you. So it's just a really good, you know, picture of how, you know, we're to communicate. Even, you know, the thoughts in our head, how the thoughts that we can have.